We'd like to again welcome you to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, and you can open up the Word of God and turn with us to Ephesians chapter 6. We've been trying to consider the armor of God, the whole armor of God, that is of necessity that we put on that whole armor to be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. So in consideration of that whole armor, we're looking at each component and specific piece of that armor. And this morning, we have arrived at the fifth component of the armor of God, the fifth component of the whole armor of God, which is the helmet of salvation. So let's read in Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll begin in verse 13 this morning. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So as we've made our way looking at each individual component of this armor, we have now arrived at the helmet of salvation. And as we consider a soldier and a soldier fighting a good warfare, it's obviously vitally important for our head to be protected for the soldier, right? So what protects our head? Well, salvation protects our head. The eternal security and salvation by God's sovereign grace, that fact, but also our belief of that fact, protects our mind, it protects our head here in this world as we put on the helmet of salvation. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 59, and we'll see beginning in verse 16 that this is speaking of Jesus Christ. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. So obviously, verse 16 is talking about Jesus Christ. It's talking about Jesus Christ saving us solely by himself. He looked to see if there was anyone that could help him, but there's none that doeth good. There's no righteous man. There was no intercessor. So God's own arm, Jesus Christ's arm, brought salvation unto his people. And notice in verse 17, for he, so Jesus Christ, put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. So the first thing we need to understand about the helmet of salvation is that it's Jesus's helmet, right? He's the one who gained salvation for us. He came into this world to save his people from their sins, and he declared on the cross, it is finished. He accomplished, he finished, he completed the work that he came into this world to do, and that work was to save his people from their sins. So understand, child of God, salvation is finished. Salvation is complete solely in the work of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a significant difference, though, between the objective fact of eternal salvation and then our subjective understanding of that fact. So this is Jesus's helmet of salvation, and he gives us that helmet of salvation. In other words, all children of God have the helmet of salvation because we're saved by grace. But just because we have the helmet of salvation issued to us as a enlisted member, a drafted member of the army of Christ, does not mean that we pick up that helmet and protect our mind with it all the time. So Jesus has given us his helmet of salvation, but it's up to us to put on that helmet of salvation. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we'll just start reading in verse 5 for context. Ye are all children of light and the children of the day, and ye are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. So Jesus has given to all of his children the helmet of salvation. Understand, it is his helmet, right? We've seen that from Isaiah chapter 59. It is Jesus's helmet. He gave us salvation, and all of God's children are eternally secure in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and we have been saved eternally by nothing more than God's sovereign grace. So Jesus has given us eternally his helmet of salvation. He's issued it to us as a soldier in the Lord's army. But the question now is, are we going to don that helmet? Are we going to put it on? Are we going to put on that helmet to protect our mind? And notice this clarification that we have in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 8, we put on the helmet, the hope of salvation. So now this has to do with our belief of salvation. You see, there's a difference between the certainty of the finished work of Jesus Christ, that all of God's children will be with him in heaven at the end of time. And there's nothing that can change that, and that's solely by God's grace and nothing to do with our works. However, your enjoyment of that fact has to do with your knowledge of salvation here in this world, and your knowledge of that fact is going to protect your mind. Notice the helmet is the hope of salvation. A hope is a confident expectation, an excitement, and an expectation that we have been saved by grace, and at the end of our life, we will be in heaven with the Lord. You see, the effect of justification by faith from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, is that we have peace with God and access by faith into the grace wherein we stand. You see, when we believe in the Lord, when we trust in the knowledge of the gospel, when we trust in Jesus Christ solely as our only hope of eternal salvation, we lay hold on eternal life. We lay hold on the hope of salvation. And when we lay hold on the hope of salvation, we physically pick up that helmet of salvation and put it on our head. And it protects our mind. It protects our mind from being corrupted from the deceit of Satan. Why? Because we have a hope of salvation. And Jesus is our only hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The only reason we have the hope of glory is because of Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ gives us the hope of salvation. But it's up to us to put that hope into action. It's up to us to pick up that helmet and put it on our mind. And I just want to underscore how vitally important the protection of our head and the protection of our mind are in this warfare. It's very easy for a soldier to have a concussion, to fall and to hit his head. And if we're not mentally there, then we're not going to be successful in our battle. And what protects us? You know, if you fall and you have a helmet, you'll generally be okay. But if you fall without a helmet, you're putting yourself in great risk of being injured, right? When someone rides a bicycle or a motorcycle, it is required that you have a helmet. Why? Because if you fall and you have a helmet and your head is protected, hopefully you'll be okay. But if you fall without a helmet, you can cause severe damage. And our brain is so sensitive. Our brain is just amazing at what it's able to do, but it's so sensitive that the slightest disruption in hitting our head could cause severe damage in every area of our body, because all the rest of our body follows the commands that our brain, that our head sends out. This just underscores how vitally important our heads are and what protects our heads. What protects this vitally important aspect for the soldier? Salvation protects our head with the helmet of salvation. Notice with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that Satan is attempting to corrupt our minds. Remember who we are trying to defend against. We're defending against the wiles of Satan, and Satan is always trying to deceive the mind of the child of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So here we find some people that are lost, but these are not lost, hell-bound sinners. No, these are lost children of God. And why are they lost? You know, we have in Luke chapter 15, three different parables of the lost sheep, and then the lost coin, and then the lost son. You see, a sheep is a sheep, even if it's lost. A coin is still a coin, even if it's lost. And a son is still a son, even if it's lost. So these people that are lost, notice in verse 4, have the ability to believe the gospel. And the only people that have the ability to believe the gospel are born again children of God. But the God of this world, Satan, has corrupted the minds. Satan has corrupted the mind of these children of God, and now they're lost. He's corrupted their minds to entice them to stray away from the shepherd. That's what happens when we're enticed by sin, is we stray away from the shepherd, and that's how sheep get lost. They stray away from the shepherd. And why does that happen? It happens by a decision that we make in our mind. You see, every action that we undertake starts with a thought. It starts with a thought in our mind that leads to an action. So how did these sheep get astray? How did these sons make a decision to leave the father's house, like the lost of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15? How did that happen? It happened with a thought. It happened with one singular thought. And that's why we have to have our heads protected. That's why we have to have on the helmet of salvation. It's because the God of this world is attempting to blind the minds of the children of God and prevent them from believing the gospel. Because I'll tell you, there is power in the gospel, and there is power for the child of God when they believe the gospel. And you know who knows that better than anybody? Satan knows that better than anybody. He knows the impact of the powerful gospel in the life of a child of God, that we're not burdened with sin anymore and the condemnation of sin, where we're walking around in fear and terror all the time that I might make a mistake and go to hell. No, we have liberty in the gospel, and Satan knows the liberation and the peace and the freedom that gospel gives us. So of course Satan is trying to prevent God's children from knowing about it to the fullest degree that they ought to. Satan is trying to blind these minds of the children of God so they don't understand the gospel, because he knows once they understand the gospel, the hope of their salvation, and they put on that helmet of salvation, he knows their minds are going to be protected, right? Their minds are going to be protected by Jesus Christ. So Satan is trying to blind, to corrupt, to deceive the minds of God's children. And that's why we have to put on the helmet of salvation, have to put on the helmet of confidence of salvation solely in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our only hope of eternal salvation. But child of God, you need to believe it. And when you believe it, there is power in there. There is dunamis, dynamite power in the gospel. And it's power that quenches all of these deceptions of Satan in our life. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 4 is a parenthetical statement. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I'll tell you, your thoughts are maybe the most important thing to your discipleship. I want you to understand that, because every action we take, whether it be a good action or a bad action, externally, an external action always starts with an internal thought in our brain, in our head. But furthermore, even if we quench the external action, the thoughts in our mind are still sin as well. If we hate someone in our heart, it doesn't matter if you go kill them or not. No, it's the equivalent of murder if you hate a brother in your heart. Jesus dealt with these in Matthew chapter 5. He didn't just deal with murder, but next he dealt with adultery. You may have never committed the external action of cheating on your wife or fornication or adultery, but if we lust after a woman in our heart, then we are guilty of adultery. We are adulterers. We are fornicators in our mind if we do not control our thoughts. But every external action of sin starts with an internal thought of the mind. And that's why we have to bring every thought into captivity under the obedience of Christ. I want to emphasize this so heavily in verse 5. The weapons of our warfare give us the ability, and primarily what piece of armor gives us the ability to protect our minds in this way, to bring every thought into captivity? It's the helmet of salvation, right? The helmet of salvation protects our minds that Satan is attempting to corrupt and to blind and to deceive. We put on this helmet of salvation, and the weapons of our warfare give us the ability to tear down the strongholds of Satan. And if there's any place that Satan has a stronghold, it's a stronghold in our thoughts. It's a stronghold in our mind. Because again, if we have a problem with external sin. Yes, we need to remedy the external sin, but we only remedy the external sin when we remedy the internal thoughts of the mind, you see? We pull down strongholds. There are strongholds of sinful thoughts in every one of our lives that need to be pulled down, that need to be eradicated and extinguished and purged out. And how are those sinful strongholds of thought taken away? They're taken away by the helmet of salvation. They're taken away by praying for God to strengthen us and cast down imaginations. Our mind can have some very wicked imaginations. Imagination is a good thing, but we have to control our thoughts. We have to control our imagination. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and again, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It's vitally important that we control our thoughts. You see, it's what protects our mind from the deception of Satan. And he's trying to tempt us at every single turn. During my next time on the program, we hope to look at the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And the way that we protect our mind is by the Word of God. We protect our mind with filling it up with the Word of God. You know, our minds need to be so filled up with godly things, there's not any room for Satan. In our mind, and if we're putting on the helmet of salvation like we ought to, our mind is going to be filled with those good and godly things. You know, we don't have the ability to think about nothing, okay? Some of these Eastern religions teach you to meditate and to clear your mind and empty your mind. Well, a lot of times the old saying is true, an idle mind and also idle hands, but the idle mind is the devil's playground. No, our minds need to be filled up with something. And if we're just honest with ourselves, we know we're thinking about something all the time, aren't we? We're thinking about something all the time. So therefore, the question then is, what are you going to think about? Are you going to think about something that is enticing to sin? Or are you going to purposefully fill your mind up with good, godly, wholesome things? And that's what we need to think about. We have to actively put on the helmet of salvation, and we have to actively think about good things because we have a nature within us that wants to gravitate to think about things that are not good, that are not honorable, that are not glorifying to God. That's where our minds want to gravitate. So we have to be purposeful. Understand, you can't put your thought life in neutral. Okay? You are either thinking about positive things or negative things, godly things or sinful things. There is no straddling the fence. So therefore, you can't just say, well, I'm just going to not think about these bad things. Well, you can't sit in neutral. You're going to be thinking about something. Instead, what you need to do is fill up the bad with the good. Child of God, you need to actively fill up your mind with good things. That's what we find in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And not just think, meditate. That word think means to meditate, to revolve them in your mind. So you need to make a choice, child of God, to think on things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy unto God. We need to control our thought process, and we have to actively think about these good things. And don't just think about them in a passing, quick, glancing way. No, meditate on them. Meditate on the Word of God. To the best of your ability, read the Scriptures in the morning, and then meditate on the Scriptures you read during the day. Have verses that you're attempting to learn with yourself, and also verses you're attempting to learn and memorize with your family and with your kids. You see, we need to be revolving the Word of God in our mind, and that protects our mind. When we're thinking about positive things, then that's going to have our mind filled up with all these good godly things where there's not room for any bad things to come into our mind. So put on that helmet of salvation, child of God. It's just so important for us to have our minds protected because Satan is trying to deceive our minds with so many different things, especially in 21st century America with television and the internet and social media. All of these things impact our mind and the way that we think about things. And we have to be pure in our hearts, not just in our actions. Because our actions will never be pure if our hearts are not pure. And your heart is tied to your mind. And every action we have stems from a thought. We need to pray the same prayer as David in Psalm chapter 19 and verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Not just the external actions and the words that are verbalized out of my mouth, But the meditation of my heart, every thought is brought into captivity unto the obedience of Christ. Lord, purify my thought process. Lord, purify these strongholds of sinful thoughts that I have in my mind. Lord, allow my thoughts to be filled with pure, wholesome, godly, virtuous things. And if I focus on them, I will not be tempted to think on these sinful temptations and wily deceptions of Satan. So, child of God, put on that helmet of salvation. Jesus has saved you by sovereign grace. And every child of God will be with the Lord in heaven. He's given you that eternal helmet of salvation. But now, in your walk of discipleship, pick up that helmet of salvation, put it on your head, place your confidence and hope in Jesus Christ and His finished work solely as your hope of salvation. Feel the deliverance and the peace and the power that that gospel has in your life. And that can defeat the attempts of Satan. You see, Satan tries to make you question if you're a child of God. He attempts to make you fearful and distraught and discouraged all the time. But is there any better thought to provoke us to diligent discipleship than to be reminded of the fact that Jesus Christ has saved us by grace? And that's why the gospel is so important. That's why the gospel is so important in the life of the child of God. And that's why Satan is all the time trying to blind the minds of the lost children of God to prevent them from understanding that gospel, because he knows the power of that gospel. He knows the power of the helmet of salvation, and that's why we need to put it on, to protect ourselves from the wiles of Satan and to fill our mind up with good, honorable, praiseworthy things to praise and honor the God that has saved us by His sovereign grace. So pick up that helmet of salvation, put it on your head, and protect your mind this morning. And next in this series, we want to take up the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, to protect ourselves and defend ourselves offensively against these wiles of Satan. Until we have a chance to be with you on the program again, we pray that the Lord will richly bless you in your walk of discipleship and put on that helmet of salvation this morning, child of God, and glorify the Lord for saving you by His sovereign grace. May God bless you.